A reading from the Epistle, the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the Soviets sent Reverend Richard Wurmbrandt to prison for his work in the underground church in Romania, he couldn't quit preaching, not even in solitary confinement. Though no one was with him in his cell, Reverend Wurmbrandt said he would preach to himself and to the angels, preaching and singing and praying and meditating. And one day he remembered that Jesus had said, "Rejoice and leap for joy," so he did that too. And for 14 years, he survived behind prison bars. Afterward, he wrote, "I found that joy can be acquired like a habit, in the same way as a folded sheet of paper falls naturally into the same fold." I want to think together this morning about the acquisition and habit of joy, and hopefully have you walking out of here today having considered joy for what I think it is, not so much a feeling, but a habit or a practice. Joy and happiness are synonyms, but strictly speaking, they are not the same. Happiness is a feeling, and it is conditional. Happiness depends on what happens to us and how it is that we feel about it. Joy, however, is not a feeling, and it is not conditional. It's a habit, something a Christian does unconditionally, like pray and meditate. Rejoice, Paul says in today's scripture. Again, I say, rejoice. His words are action words. They're verb words. Grammatically speaking, they are called hortatory words. Hortatory being a big Duke Divinity School word for an encouraging word. Rejoicing is something Paul wants to encourage the church at Philippi to do. And it's something he knows, they know, he himself is in the habit of doing. A little Bible study. I promise this will be painless. I almost said painful. Freudian. Paul is writing from prison. He was arrested in Jerusalem and is now imprisoned either in Ephesus or in Rome. He's awaiting trial and possibly death. And he's writing to the people of his church back in Philippi, which he knows are worried for them, for him. So he encourages them. This is their pastor, and he's in trouble. He's in chains. But he's writing to encourage them and to tell them not to lose heart, but to rejoice. Now, they are, of course, hoping for a miracle. And in Philippi, they had one. This was when Paul and Silas were in prison and began singing and praying, and the doors of the jail suddenly burst open and they were freed. Only this time, the doors haven't burst open. The letter the church at Philippi received is postmarked Roman Imperial Jail. Paul is still in prison, and there is no angel there to let him out. But even in fetters, Paul wants the church to know that he's keeping his joy. And he wants them to keep their joy too. 16 times, in fact, he mentions the words joy or rejoice in this short letter. That's why it is called the Epistle of Joy. No, the miracle had not happened. The prison doors are still closed. Paul was writing with chains on his wrists. But Paul was keeping his joy even in prison. And he wanted his people to keep the joy too. There are all kinds of prisons, both literal and figurative. And I suppose that the point of the sermon today is to say that there is joy that can be found in everyone. Joy can be practiced in spite of any circumstance and in any and everywhere. Joy slips through prison bars. It shows up in the windows of lockdown assisted living centers. It shows up in laughter, even at funerals. I've heard it sing at the bedside right before the moment of death. It was in the words of the witty old woman who was in the last days of her life and looked at me up from her wheelchair and said, "The warranty has run out and I'm ready to trade this thing in." She was not talking about the chair. And it was there, joy, in the words of Jesus, that last night, when though he knew what was in front of him, he wanted his disciples to know nobody can take away your joy from you. He told them that. And then the scripture says they went out with a song. And singing does help. Jesus sang, and Paul and Silas sang, and Reverend Vermbrandt sang, and we are singing, of course, today. Some of us are singing, as the old hymn says, because we are happy and because we are free and because we are so very excited about Christmas. But others of us are singing for the same reasons Frederick Douglass said the enslaved people sang on the plantations and in the shipyards. Slaves sing, he said, more to make themselves happy than to express their happiness. In other words, they sang for joy. And somehow, even in the most trying and terrorizing of times, millions of them found it. We can find it too. We can make joy. God in Christ can make it in us. Life can be hard. It can be traumatizing, and it can sometimes feel like a prison, and sometimes the miracles just don't happen. And the doors remain locked. But the great hope we have is that the joy of Christ can enter anywhere. It can come and it can unlock something inside of us that we didn't even know we had, but that others will see and wish they had and ask where it is that they might find. So here this morning, this hortatory sermon, keep singing, keep praying. Musicians, keep playing. Preachers, keep preaching, even if only the angels are left to listen. Keep practicing. Rejoice and leap for joy. Shout for joy. Sing for joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The peace of God, which surpasses all circumstance and understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds always in Christ Jesus. And you shall have what we sang of way back in Sunday school. All those many years ago, that joy, joy, joy down in our hearts. You'll have it way down deep, and nothing and no one will ever be able to take it from you because joy is yours to keep. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and joyous mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.